You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Well, hello there! This is Gary Gnu from the Great Space Coaster, and you and I are listening to the Flopcast! Yes, and let me tell you a little bit more about my career. Hey, wait, where are you going? Wait a minute, come back! Come back, I have more to tell you about myself. I'm really important. Really? Talk to me, please!
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 591.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Oh, hello, Kevin.
Cornflake's back.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
Yeah, I am. How are you?
I'm good. We missed you last week, but the mayor stepped in to do our Dragon Con preview show last week, get everybody all set for the convention, which is where we are right now as the show comes out.
That's right.
This episode is coming out in the middle of Dragon Con, so we're going to keep this one quick because... I'm getting ready for Dragon Con right now, which means I have no time for this.
I was going to joke. That means you don't have nearly enough to do right now, do you?
Well, we're going to keep it short. Last week I said we were going to keep it short, and then we didn't. This week we really have to keep it short because there's just too much to do before we go find all the nerds and or the geeks. So we're going to start things off with you. We didn't get a whatever day last week, so we got one coming this week. Cornflake, what is National Whatever Day?
National Whatever Day!
Well, I think after leaving you hanging for a week, I can strike back and strike back hard here because September 8th, is National Star Trek Day.
Oh, that's appropriate for this show coming out during Dragon Con, because all kinds of Star Trek stuff happens at Dragon Con. So right after the convention, a few days later, it'll be Star Trek Day.
There's a whole Trek track.
Yes, there is a dedicated Trek track run by actual Star Trek actor Garrett Wang from Voyager.
So we could celebrate Star Trek Day, and it is on September 8th because that is the date that Star Trek, the original series, debuted for the first time on television 57 years ago.
Okay, what year was that?
That would have been 1966.
It was 66, yes, I thought so.
I would have been surprised if you didn't know, Kevin.
That was such a year for TV in that you had Star Trek, Batman, started in 66, and the Monkees started in 66.
So many good things.
And in fact, as the story goes, they specifically hired Walter Koenig to play Chekhov because they wanted a guy who looked like Davy Jones.
Whoa.
That's what I hear.
That is neat Star Trek lore.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, usually you're really good for trivia. So I was going to ask if you knew what the very first episode of Star Trek was called.
I don't know.
The pilot episode was called The Man Trap.
Oh, I've never heard that title before.
Spicy.
Yeah. I think that was also the first episode of The Golden Girls.
The Man Trap.
Same title. That's true.
Nobody's here to dispute you, Kevin, so you're probably right.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not going to be doing anything Star Trek related this weekend at Dragon Con, as far as I know. I never got involved with the Trek track, just because, again, I like Trek, it's fine, but I'm not at all a Trek expert. I would not be comfortable going on stage and pontificating about Trek in front of people. An angry audience who knows way more about Trek than I do.
Hey, I love Star Trek, and I wouldn't be comfortable in those circumstances either.
Yeah, and you watch all the new shows. There's like 18 new Star Trek shows. I have not seen any of that.
Yeah, some of it is a little harder to get on board with than other things, but I did love the Picard series.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of them, right? And I hear they're very good.
Yeah, there's even a cartoon one. There's Lower Decks.
People love them. And that's our friend Bonnie, right, does a voice.
I think you're right.
Yeah, Bonnie Gordon from the Library Bards. I believe is the voice of the computer. And I guess I knew something else about Star Trek.
You have been selling yourself short.
All right, you talked me into it. I'm signing up as an official expert on the Trek Trek.
You sign up as an expert, and I'm just going to go over here and have a Brent break.
You take a Brent break. I'm going to get Garrett Wang on the phone and book myself for the Trek Trek. You know who they've got? Because I'm assuming you have not heard the DragonCon preview show yet.
No.
Actually, as we're recording this, it has not been released yet. So I'm quite sure you haven't heard it yet. Although, even if we had released it, I know you're never in any particular rush to hear a new episode of the Flapcast. But we revealed during our preview show, among the guests this year is George Takei.
Ooh. Oh, my.
That's right. That's the correct reaction to that news. So, yeah, George is at DragonCon as we speak, I believe. So that's cool. So, oh, it sounds like we're all going to have a fabulous Star Trek day.
Magnificent. That is exactly what I had hoped for.
Okay. Good job, everybody. That's the official slogan of Star Trek, right? Good job, everybody.
Good job, everybody. Yeah.
They make that thing with their hands, the Vulcans, and they look at each other and say, good job, everybody.
Yes.
Yeah.
Live long and good job, everybody.
Something like that. Well, I do have something for you. Since this is DragonCon weekend, as the show comes out, and just yesterday, as we record, the DragonCon app was updated with the schedule and the guests and all the information for this year's convention. All my stuff is in there. You can look me up in the app and see where I'm going to be in case anybody wants to stalk me around DragonCon. But what I did for you, now you're not going to be there in person, but let's say you were. Let's say at the last minute, Cornflake's going to come to DragonCon, but it's so last minute you did not have time to go through the app and put your schedule together. About 20 minutes ago, I did that for you.
Well, thank you. Well, you know me. Every once in a while, I deep barnstorm events.
So admittedly, I put very little time or effort into this, but here we go. Here's your schedule.
I put even less time into being there.
All you have to do is show up, and here's what you can do. So I've picked out approximately just one event per day to keep it nice and simple.
That's about my speed.
Yeah, I think there's one day I've got multiple things picked out, but we'll see when I get there.
Don't overestimate me.
Here's what we got. Well, DragonCon Thursday, DragonCon Day 1, I wanted to send you to the Classics track, American Sci-Fi Classics track. That's the place you want to be to kick off your weekend. And this seems like a pretty good taste of the Classics track because it's just a crazy, silly room where ridiculous things happen.
I love the Classics track.
All weekend. You've worked with the Classics track in virtual panels over the last couple of years. You know those crazy people, you know, Joe and Gary and the whole wacky gang. And I believe this is the first thing the Classics track is doing this year. So kicking off the convention Thursday at 7, I have you scheduled to attend in the Classics track room. They're doing something called Just Yell Out a Classic Sci-Fi Show That You Remember.
Ooh.
That's the name of the panel.
That's an excellent concept for a panel.
They're just going to fill the room with people just yelling out the names of shows they want to talk about. It says, this panel began as an April Fool's joke, but now we're for real doing it. The audience will literally yell out names of classic sci-fi shows that they remember, and everybody will talk about them. And then we'll do more of that. That's the official description of what's going to happen. So you think you could do that? What would you yell out? Cornflakes in the room. You got to yell out a show.
A classic sci-fi show?
Whatever you like. I would say, why restrict yourself to classic sci-fi? It could be anything. You could yell out Facts of Life. They would talk Facts of Life.
Snorks.
The Snorks, absolutely. I guarantee that is a room full of people who would be delighted to yell and scream about the Snorks. Those weird little Smurf ripoff cartoon fish creatures, the Snorks, of course.
That sounds like a riot waiting to happen.
I think that'd be good. I don't know if I will be in the room for this event. It's possible I'll duck in and catch some of this, depending on what's going on that night. But yeah. I love that they're actually doing that. I like that it started as a joke. Like, what if we did a panel where people just yell out the names of things? And now...
Yeah, people are going to do that anyway, so...
It's official. It's on the schedule. And you're talking Snorks. When Cornflake kicks in the door, it's all Snork talk.
You're talking about me kicking in the door. I'm picturing them dragging me out through it. So I think something like that would happen.
All right, that's your Thursday. Friday, here's something weird I picked out for you. I've heard of this event. I've never attended. I probably never will. This seems so weird that I think you would love it. This is on the puppetry track.
I've heard tale of the puppetry track.
There's a whole track where all they do is puppet stuff. They have puppet shows, they have puppet tutorials, all kinds of puppet stuff happening all weekend. And I'm sending you on Friday at 4 p.m. to the Magic Puppet Tea Party.
Oh, wow. There is so much going on with that.
Puppet Tea Party. Now, do you have a puppet?
Right now?
I don't mean...
next to me?
I don't mean you're like the... on your hand right now.
I have a puppet, but it's weird. Well, I have two puppets. I have a lobster puppet because somebody somewhere along the way got me a lobster puppet.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine. But now please describe your weird puppet.
It is a furry hand.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have a mouth and it's got eyeballs on the palm. But it was advertised as a puppet back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a furry hand puppet. I think it's a glove that somebody just glued eyeballs to.
It's just a glove. It doesn't even have eyeballs. It's just a glove. Right?
And so you just,
admit it.
You can't make it talk because the eyeballs are inside where you'd make the mouth with the hand. And so you just kind of open and close your hand.
That's very weird. Okay, you know what? You better bring them both.
Okay. One for each hand. That's perfect.
Here's the thing about the Magic Puppet Tea Party, and I've heard of this event. Puppets are required. Like, they won't let you through the door if you don't have a puppet with you.
Snap.
This is not like a puppet-themed tea party for human beings. This is a tea party for puppets. It says, the description is, puppets only, a social mixer for people who bring puppets to Dragon Con. Don your fanciest frock and join the party. Your puppet will get a chance to mingle with other puppets. Then in parentheses, puppets required to attend.
Can you imagine poor furry hand eyeball puppet trying to mingle with other puppets at a tea party?
See, I'm worried about if they're going to let you through the door if you just have the weird glove with eyeballs on it.
You know, very least, if I were to bring the lobster puppet, it could don a fascinator or something.
I love that there's like a bouncer working the door. Like, hold on, buddy, where's your puppet?
Oh, Kevin, you're so right. This fascinates me.
Can you imagine? So then you'd be in there with your lobster puppet and possibly also the freaky hand thing. So the puppets like have to like mingle and make small talk with other puppets. Do you think you could do that?
I think the lobster would probably have to be giving the furry hand man puppet some socialization tips, but
yeah.
I could probably work my way through it.
This is an actual event that's happening.
My brain is exploding over this, Kevin.
There's going to be puppets mingling at a tea party.
That's wild.
And you could be there. All right, so that's your big Friday activity, the Magic Puppet Tea Party. Let's move on to Saturday, and also slightly puppet-themed. But now, again, you haven't heard... I'm actually sending you on special assignment on Saturday.
Okay, that's good, because I'll have been there for a couple of days by that point, so I'll probably be ready for this.
You're acclimated, you're ready to go, and yes, I have you on a mission, because this is something that I would go to if I can, but I have a conflict. I'm doing something else. I'm scheduled to be like on stage somewhere else doing something. And you haven't heard our preview show yet, so you might not be aware of this, but they announced a very special, very exciting guest appearing at Dragon Con for the first time, and someone that we have spoken of many times on the Flopcast, and someone I've never seen in person, probably will never get to see again. Are you intrigued?
Who is it?
Cornflake, they announced just a couple of weeks ago, coming to Dragon Con, Marty Croft.
Kevin, how can you miss Marty Croft?
We're getting a Croft. Now, he's doing other stuff. I'm going to try to catch Marty Croft one way or another at some of the other events he's doing. But this particular Marty Croft event, for anyone who's not aware, we're talking Marty as in Sid and Marty Croft, the legendary brothers and puppeteers who produced H.R. Puffin Stuff and Bugaloos, Land of the Lost, Lidsville, Sigmund and the Sea Monsters, Electra Woman and Dinah Girl, all the classic 70s, 80s, Saturday morning stuff.
I've heard Lidsville is Joe Crow's favorite.
Everybody loves Lidsville. Absolutely. It's Living Hats.
Especially Joe Crow.
Especially Joe. Oh yeah, Joe has shown Lidsville episodes like early in the morning in the classics track. People will come in and sit down and Joe puts on a Lidsville episode. I've seen it happen. It's magnificent. So Marty Croft, who we weren't sure how old they were, the Croft brothers. I figured they had to be around 90 when we were doing our preview show last week. I looked them up. I was exactly right. They average out to 90. Marty is 86 years old. Whoa. Sid is 94.
Wow.
Marty's coming. Sid is not on the guest list. This is going to be Marty without Sid, but Marty's going to be there. And Marty has not been in Atlanta, according to what I read here. Marty has not been in Atlanta since 1976, which is the year the Croft theme park was in Atlanta. The World of Sid and Marty Croft theme park.
Hasn't been back since the mid-70s. Yeah. Wow. What a trip. So 47 years later.
So the World of Sid and Marty Croft was only open for a few months. It's just kind of this legendary thing, this weird thing that happened in Atlanta, very close to where the convention actually happens. As we were talking about it not too long ago. Yeah. That's where
CNN headquarters.
Yes, that was CNN. Set up in the remains, in the rubble where once stood the Croft theme park. Now it's CNN. So Marty's doing several talks and appearances and stuff during the convention. But the one that I'm going to miss, the one that I'm sending you to, is it's called Celebrating the World of Sid and Marty Croft Theme Park Discussion and Q&A. So this panel is
that will be dynamite.
Specifically about the theme park that was right in Atlanta. This says, take a detailed look at Atlanta's legendary Croft-themed amusement park. The World of Sid and Marty Croft was ahead of its time and featured Disneyland-style dark rides and attractions like the pinball ride and many others. Thrilled to never-before-seen photos from the Croft archives.
Really cool. When you said take a detailed look, I thought you were going to say take a deep breath because it was just going to be so magnificent. But it sounds like it will be.
It's going
to
be good.
So everybody take a deep breath if you're going to this particular panel.
Everybody is strangely fascinated by this theme park. I certainly wish I could have gone there back in the day. So this will be Marty Croft speaking about the old Croft theme park. I would absolutely be there if I was not scheduled to be somewhere else. So I'm sending you, theoretically, instead.
I am a suitable ambassador?
Absolutely. You can go learn all about the theme park. Yeah, there was a pinball ride. Like, you'd get inside a giant pinball and you'd ride through a pinball machine, a giant pinball machine. That was an actual ride in the park.
That really sounds like a good time. Like, I'd spend an afternoon just riding around on that.
Now, the catch is, it wasn't like a crazy roller coaster thrill ride. It's not like Sesame Street Pointer Sisters, you know, counting to 12 cartoon of a pinball machine. It was a very slow moving, like it just kind of rides on a track and you see things as you ride around, you know.
Well, that's what it's like when I play pinball. Like, the ball never really moves all that fast.
Yeah, so. Yeah. It's a cornflake style pinball game that you're riding inside. I would absolutely ride a Croft pinball ride. All right. So Cornflake is off to the Croft theme park discussion on Saturday in my absence. Take a lot of notes. But I am going to catch Marty at some point that weekend because I figure, you know, this is our shot.
I am relieved to hear that.
Yes, yes. I think I'm going to try to see Marty the day before. Let's move on to Sunday. Okay. Now, I wanted to send you into the naughty late night party scene of Dragon Con.
I thank you so much for that.
You've been at the family-friendly daytime events with theme parks and puppets. So this is Sunday, but technically it's Saturday night. Because midnight, Saturday night / Sunday morning, is Dragon Con Burlesque, a glamour geek review.
Now you're talking.
Yeah, go see the Dragon Con Burlesque show. I've never gone to the Dragon Con Burlesque show.
I'm sure it's fantastic.
I'm sure it's quite good, and it's in a big room, and it fills up. People stand on a long line for a long time to get in. We go to those local, you know, when Nikki puts on her burlesque shows in Boston, and those are great, so I figure, all right, I'm good. I'm too busy for burlesque at Dragon Con. But there's Cornflake. Go see what's got to be a fun Dragon Con burlesque show. That's at midnight.
Okay. Yep. So hopefully there's time for me to take a nap between the Croft panel and this, because otherwise I'll probably fall asleep while standing in that line and miss the whole thing.
Absolutely. Plenty of time for a nap before your burlesque show. However, I'm sending you out of the burlesque show early. It's a 2.5-hour show. Yikes.
Oh, okay.
The show doesn't get out until 2:30 in the morning, evidently. However, I was thinking you could catch an hour of burlesque, then at 1 a.m.,
there's more.
Yes, you got to hike up the street a couple of blocks to a different hotel for. This is another thing they do every year that I've never gone to. I never will. It's so crazy and ridiculous that we might as well send Cornflake to go experience this. There's an event every year called Kilt Blowing.
I get it. So,
not my scene, but maybe you'll find something enjoyable about this. But yeah,
I see why you picked this for me.
There's a lady. I've seen this lady speak a couple of times. Jenny Breeden. She's a cartoonist. I've been to her cartooning panels once or twice, long time back. But Jenny hosts Kilt Blowing every year, and it's people wearing kilts on stage. That I think I've never gone to this, but what I understand, there's people in kilts. Jenny has a leaf blower. And she aims it at the kilt people. That's what's going on.
Well, it is Atlanta in the summertime, so I'm sure that's refreshing. But yeah. I gotta say, there's only one thing better than kilts and leaf blowers. And that's when you bring them together for something that I see why they have to do it at 1 o'clock in the morning. I get that.
That's a very late night event. Yeah, so
you just found something that I would stay up for.
I thought you might. So there you go. Again, not my scene. I will not be at kilt blowing, but enjoy.
I don't know if kilt blowing is my scene, but I sure wouldn't mind finding out. I do like a good kilt.
So there's some late night antics for you. Now to bring you back around, back to reality, Sunday morning. This seemed like a nice way to wind down for you after your night of debauchery.
I'll never be the same after kilt blowing.
If you're still conscious, Sunday morning, 8:30 a.m., this is something called Coffee and Coloring.
Now, this sounds like my kind of scene.
That's what I thought. Strangely, it's on the video gaming track. I don't know what that's about.
Oh, that is weird.
The video game people are going to drop their ColecoVisions and
maybe color pictures of Sonic the Hedgehog or something?
I guess. Do some coffee and coloring. This says, take a break from the Georgia heat and relax while we color, converse, and drink enormous amounts of coffee.
This sounds like heaven.
That sounds like your kind of thing, because you're someone who colors, right? You get coloring books and you color them.
Yes, I color. I watercolor. I glitter color. Right. I have glittery colored pencils and glitter markers.
Do you get the books? Like, do you have special coloring books on particular themes?
I do. I have some naughty ones.
Naughty? What? Do you have like a kilt blowing coloring book?
Words out.
I know it. Well, there you go then. Coffee and coloring.
I don't know if I could bring my naughty coloring books to something at 8:30 in the morning. I may just have to color whatever they have.
You found a way to make coffee and coloring hugely inappropriate for a Sunday morning. Good job.
You're welcome.
And let's see. I've got one more thing for you. Final day of Dragon Con. Monday, Labor Day. Well, this is a big event that happens every year. And it's the big finale on Monday on the robotics track. There's a whole track dedicated to robotics. And Monday is the big robot battles.
Now, I've heard of this too. Don't we know people who are involved in this?
Well, yeah, we know Mariana. You know, our old,
that's right,
old friend of ours, Mariana. Her husband, Jason, builds robots and participates in the robot battles at Dragon Con. As far as I know, they're coming this year. I have not talked to Mariana about it, but they might be there.
One could hope.
With their robots.
Because then, I mean, this sounds really cool anyway, but then I'd be really excited to see somebody I recognize.
I have not been to robot battles in many years, but I have caught plenty of it over the years. It is very fun. You know, and you've seen the, like, those TV shows with the fighting robots. It's like that. It's robot battles. And it goes on and on. This is a four-hour event on Monday.
Do they let people fight the robots? Because I can bring my sock and boppers.
That would be interesting.
I've been working out.
This might be what makes the robots finally turn on us.
It was the day that girl named after a cereal hit me with a sock and bopper.
Cornflake stepped into the ring at Dragon Con, attacked an innocent robot who was only there to fight with other robots, and now it's all over. The humans are about to be crushed by the robots. It all started at Dragon Con. Good job.
And if I win, we get a second round of kilt blowing.
So there you go, Cornflake. That's the goofy DragonCon schedule, which I very quickly, with very little thought or consideration for your own personal health or safety, that's what I set up for you to do should you somehow find yourself in Atlanta for DragonCon.
And I thank you. It sounds like there's plenty of time in between tea for drinking, so.
I tried to, leave your schedule nice and open for whatever else may come your way. It's fine. I will not be at any of those events, but, you know, I'm very busy.
That's okay. I could enjoy them enough for the both of us.
Yes, yes. We'll compare notes on the other side. Okay, well, that's the imaginary version of Cornflake's trip to DragonCon. Meanwhile, I'm down there.
I've had fun just hearing about it.
I hoped you would. All right, well, we promised to keep this one short. Let's stick to that, Cornflake. Get us out of here.
I am getting us out of here. I want our listeners to know that you can find us between shows at flopcast.net. We're at facebook.com/flopcast. We're on Mastodon, universodon.com/@flopcast. And we are on Instagram, the_flopcast. And what we like to encourage people to do is to head on over to Apple Podcasts. That's where you could leave us a rating and or a review. And we would love that. Music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Sponge Awareness is the official house band of the Puppet Tea Party. So we'll see you there as long as you bring your own freaky hand puppet with eyeballs so they'll let you through the door. Cornflake, again, welcome back to the show. We missed you last week, and thanks for a quick little Let's Get Through DragonCon edition of the Flopcast. Everybody else, whether you're at DragonCon right now or not, hope this was some silly fun for you. DragonCon review next time, I think. Meanwhile, please be safe, be kind, be silly, and we'll see you next week.
Peace and cookies.
The Earth Station 1 podcast has been bringing your inner geek out to play for the past 13 years. Over this time, we've seen things change in the world of geek and podcasting alike.
And your friends here at ESO are looking to change also. We are now giving you double the fun by coming to you twice a week, and not just in audio, but now you can see our lovely faces up on YouTube.
Join Mike and Mike as we celebrate our 700th episode and beyond. Earth Station 1 is proud to be a founding member of the ESO Network.
Okay, secret after show. What's going on?
I just want to say that I do put some work into verifying what I find when I pick a national whatever day.
Right.
Because I almost started a vicious rumor.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say for this week's show, not only a day, but a national month. Because I had looked things up and I had discovered that it's National Taco Month.
Right.
Supposedly in September. A whole month devoted to tacos, Kevin. Can you imagine that?
Sounds pretty good.
I couldn't verify it, though.
Unsubstantiated taco month.
Yes. So therefore, from now on, September will be referred to as Unsubstantiated Taco Month.
Yes. I think that was also an album in the 70s. Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, perhaps.
I think you're right.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.